Good morning. I would like to thank Chairman Rome and the members of the university's Board of Trustees for this honor, and you, President Austin, for that kind introduction. I would also like to recognize the distinguished members of the faculty, and especially you, the graduating students, your rightfully proud families and friends. I salute you and congratulate you. This is getting in my way. I'm not used to this. What I much prefer is my hat. I hope you don't view this as a sign of disrespect. Congratulations again to each and every one of you in the class of 1997. This day has finally arrived for you. How do you feel at this moment? I thought you might be bored at the prospect of my droning on some esoteric subject. I can assure you I won't. Are you excited? Are you a bit sad? No. Are you afraid? Are you grateful? You're probably feeling all of those emotions. I've thought a great deal about this moment. What can I offer you that is a worthy gift for the honor you have given me? I think all that I can do is share with you a few of my thoughts, a few of my life's experiences, in the hope that through them, you will be just a bit better prepared to take advantage of the lifetime of opportunity that is ahead of you. I believe very strongly that this is just the beginning for you, rather than the end. Life is truly a journey, an uncertain but very exciting journey. All of these years of formal schooling that you are, I think, happily about to put behind you are a preparation. Some of you have prepared well. Others of you might have applied yourselves just a bit more along the way. At this point, though, it truly doesn't matter. In a few days, you will all be in the same place. You will be entering the working world where grades are much less relevant than they were just a moment ago, where no one knows what you know, where you'll be surprised very few people will really care whether you succeed or not, where you will often be left to your own devices. No teachers, no RAs, no parents, no coaches, just you. I was at that same starting point 35 years ago. Born in Bristol, where I still live, I attended a very small parish grammar school and high school called St. Anthony's. Because it was small, I had the opportunity to experience many things as class valedictorian, student body president, oratorical contest participant, baseball, soccer, and basketball player. As an aside, I was good enough to start, but never good enough to hold a position. But it was a small school. I knew everyone, they knew me. In many, many ways, I led a very sheltered life. When I went on to Providence College on scholarship, a scholarship that required the maintenance of a 3-1 cum, I was challenged in ways I did not anticipate. As a member of the Arts Honors Program, the academic challenge was daunting. While I did graduate well up in my class, I was at the bottom of that program. And that was a hard and harsh reality for me to accept at first. In high school, my grade average was 96 for 4 years. Not much I felt was hard for me in high school. But I'll never forget, and she's here today, the letter I wrote to my mother early in my freshman year. After receiving a D+, a D, and a D-, on my first three composition assignments, I wasn't happy with those. My bags were packed, and I was ready to head home. As you can tell, I did not quit, and I did graduate. I didn't quit more out of fear than out of courage. I was afraid to disappoint the two people who sacrificed everything they had so that I could be educated, my parents. I thought this was going to be easier. My father was a machinist, my mother a foot press operator in what we referred to as a non-union shop. That's a polite term. But they told me early in my life that I could choose any school I wished. They would find the money. Disappointing them was not an option. Some years later, I did quit law school after just 1 month, New York University School of Law. I somehow thought I would succeed only if I went to a nationally recognized law school. That notion was programmed into me. Arts honor students were expected to attend national schools, the better schools. I soon, but painfully learned that it was more important for the honors program that I go to a national school than it was for me. The famous line, "To thine own self be true," took on very real meaning for me. The small town boy had real difficulty adjusting to Greenwich Village and to the big city. But as you can tell, I did graduate from the University of Connecticut School of Law 4 years later. The journey to that day included a stint as a heat-treating machine attendant on the third shift, my first job after graduating from college, computer programming for 4 years, marriage to my wife Carolyn, who's here, just prior to starting my first year of law school where I went days. The birth of our oldest son, Bob, was also here, and moving into our own home and all that that entails. My point in telling you this is that the day I left NYU Law School, I started down another road, one that was bumpier and much harder. But one, I believe, turned out to be a road that was far better and much more satisfying for me. What kept me focused was the fact that I was no longer traveling alone. I was no longer the only person paying the price. My wife and my child were there with and for me. My parents, my wife's parents, grandparents, were also there for me, as were my sister, my brother, and sister-in-laws. That support fueled my persistency and tenacity. I learned that any road may turn out to be the right road if you work to make it so. Hard work, commitment, persistency, and tenacity will overcome lack of raw talent or position anytime. But I soon hit a wall. My second son, Jeffrey, had been born. After graduating from law school, I could have stayed at the insurance company where I was a programmer and a systems analyst, but instead I chose to enter private practice in Hartford for less pay. I went to law school to be a lawyer, so I should practice law, so I thought. The pressure of total consumption by a private practice left little time for my family. I had to make a choice. When the chance to work at Phoenix Mutual opened up, I chose it. Life is not a straight line. To expect it to be so, and to be disillusioned when it isn't, will cause you to miss opportunities, to miss out on the joy of living. At some point in your life, you will no doubt have to balance what you do with how and where you want to live, to deal with the reality that is in front of you. Those are often painful choices, but to fail to choose sometimes is even more painful in the long run. When I joined Phoenix, I never envisioned a time when I would stand before you as its CEO. My simple goal was to adjust and to be a capable corporate attorney. But the transition from private practice to corporate law was nowhere as easy as you might think. Very few students, when I got out of law school, wished to pursue corporate practice. It was viewed as second class, as a form of retirement. Today, however, I think it might be the career of choice. To give up on private practice, my lifelong dream, was a blow to my self-esteem and to my self-image. In order to restore some of that self-esteem and to fill in the boredom that corporate practice then involved, I mean, I read for 7 months and never left my office. I chose to pursue a long-standing interest in politics. I was elected to Bristol City Council, serving one term. It soon became clear to me that I could not pursue politics, a career, and a family without harm coming to my family life. I chose not to stand for re-election, but instead served 5 years on Bristol's Redevelopment Agency, and I also served on the Charter Revision Commission and later the Pension Board, and all 10 years of political service. Well, as my children grew, it became clear that politics had to give way to Cub Scouts, midget football, Little League, PTO, anything they were involved in. If my sons were to have these experiences, I needed to lend a hand, to be involved. Little did I know that that journey would include a Little League championship of a team I coached, coaching All-Stars, building of the A. Bartlett Giamatti Little League Leadership Training Center, support in the development of the Challenger Division for physically and mentally disabled children, my company's support of Special Olympics and women's basketball. All of these experiences, however separate, were in fact linked one to the other. I guess my point is that at some stage in life, all your experiences will come into play. Everything you do is an opportunity to learn. All of life's experiences shape you and prepare you if you view and use them that way. I guess as you might sense, it seemed whatever the situation I found myself in, if there was a challenge, I would confront it. If there was a problem, I would be a part of the solution. My high school embodied the spirit of its founder, Father Settimo Crudele. He believed such a school was needed. His bishop said no. Other pastors were unwilling to support him. Undaunted, he started it in an old factory. His philosophy was very simple. Do something with what you have, where you are. Be involved in helping others. Make a difference, dream, then work to make that dream real. I guess work as if everything depended on yourself, and pray as if everything depends on the Lord. He was I call him a religious entrepreneur, and I guess a bit of that spirit was and is in me. I guess all of this has prepared me for the stress, challenges, and events of the past 10 years. Phoenix is the product of a merger. In a merger, every person is at risk. You soon learn that loyalty and hard work may not be quite enough. There was a point when it was not clear that I would survive. I might even be asked to leave a place I cared about deeply, a place that had so much of me in it. The advice of a mentor came back to me, and it's good advice. Do the job you have, not the one you want or the one you had, and your career will take care of itself. Simply do not give anybody an excuse. That advice worked, and I found myself as the head of that organization in 1994. At a time when this region was reeling from the real estate collapse, the end of the Cold War, the meltdown of banking and insurance company mega mergers. And it is often expected that new CEOs involve themselves in industry organizations. I chose, rather, to involve myself in the work of the Greater Hartford Chamber of Commerce. I guess I was conditioned for that choice by my Bristol experience. I still live where I was born, and this is still home. At some point in your career, you will be in a position of power, as I may be today. I have chosen to use that position to do good, as well as to pursue profit. I believe strongly that pursuit of both is possible and compatible. We at Phoenix believe we have an imperative to exist forever for the benefit of our owners, customers, our policyholders. We also believe that harmonious pursuit of both profit and good for employees in the community provides the greatest chance of are achieving perpetual existence. And I guess being within 5 years of our 150th anniversary, it must be working. Well, in short, I believe opportunity is always before you. I believe it is important to do the job you have, not the one you want or the one you had. Work and focus on the present. I believe life can be and is a wonderful journey, but only if you balance work with family and community. But above all, it can be wonderful if you are true to yourself, to your dreams, while at the same time taking responsibility for helping others fulfill their dreams. And I guess at this point, some of you might probably be thinking it's fine for him to say all this. He has it made. You may not have a job. Many of you may have debts from college. And that this is a very different world. Maybe so. When I was discouraged or afraid, I often thought about my grandparents who came over from Italy at the turn of the century. They did not speak the language. They didn't know where they were going or what they would do. But they did believe very strongly that this place called America would provide them with a far better chance to fulfill their dreams. And that simple dream was that their children would have a happier and better life, and that one day, one of their grandsons might have the honor of standing here before you. I ask you to look into your past and search for your own family's personal profiles and courage. Draw strength from them, have faith in yourself, and the world will truly turn out to be your oyster. I congratulate you once again and thank you again for this wonderful honor. Thank you very much.